Good morning. You're on. You're tuned into News Radio KMAN. It's in focus time, and on a Wednesday morning, we've got Pott County Schools going to be featured today. Wamego USD Superintendent USD 320 Superintendent Tim Winter joins us. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having us, Brandon.
And we also have Rock Creek USD 323 Superintendent Kevin Logan.
Morning, Brandon.
Good morning to both of you. Thanks for being here on this kind of chilly Wednesday morning. I guess not as chilly as it was on Monday. We had a lot of Veterans Day activities earlier this week. I'm sure you guys had some celebrations at your schools as well.
We did. We actually participated in the Manhattan Parade through our high school NHS and our Honor Flight program. Honor Flight students, they help facilitate some of the activities, just kind of in a volunteer role of just helping get things done. And I think there were about 20 students that traveled to town and hopefully bundled up because it was a cold morning. And then we had some other activities in the other buildings, particularly at West. They have a really neat Veterans Day program where they bring in veterans and have an assembly and just talk about what it means and provide some refreshments for those veterans. That was actually Tuesday, because so many of the veterans already had other activities scheduled on Monday, so they made it a two-day celebration for some of those veterans and had that event on Tuesday.
How about you, Rock Creek?
At St. George Elementary last week, actually, they had a really nice Veterans Day program. I was not able to attend, but in watching the Twitter feeds and seeing the email pictures, that went over very, very well. It's a tradition down at St. George to do that. Westmoreland third and fourth graders had planned on going to the parade at Manhattan, chose not to, again, due to the weather, and instead had a parade around the Westy Gymnasium, you know, to have the honoring of the veterans, even though they couldn't get out that day. And our band that traditionally marches in the Veterans Day Parade here in Manhattan chose not to. It was with wind chills in the single digits. We'd done that a couple of years ago when we didn't have the snow piece, just the cold temps. And we'd had a lot of instruments that we had to fix because pads come loose in those severe temperatures and all. And just better part of discretion, we chose not to participate this year with our band. And hopefully the weather straightens out and we can continue to do that in future years.
Yeah, boy, those are unintended consequences there. Instruments not doing well.
They really are. I mean, it's just a tough situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of the Honor Flight program, that's such a neat program that Wamego does, Mr. Winter. Tell us more about how people can get involved with that, and when is your next flight?
I don't have the specific date off the top of my head, but it's typically in April, and I believe this will be our sixth flight. I may be off a year or two on that, but we started out initially with partnering with another school district in Kansas, and we sponsored, I believe, 12 or 13 veterans and student guardian angels, and that's the neat thing about our trip. Most of these trips that occur around the country, they have an adult guardian that travels with the veteran and assists them with their needs and you know, just basically builds that bond and works with the veteran. But we use junior and senior high school students, and they go through a process where they have to apply to be a guardian angel. They write an essay, respond to an essay question, something historical, something relevant to this trip and this and why we do it. Sean Horning and Susie Sprinkle are the NHS sponsors, and they coordinate that through NHS. They just do a phenomenal job. They leave typically at around 2 a.m. on a morning, and jump on a bus with the guardian angels and the veterans, and they have support staff as well. Usually we have a medical person or two along as well, because the ages of the veterans may range from 60s to near 100. We've had several in the 90s. And I don't know if we had a World War II veteran on the last trip, but there still are a few out there, and I know that is the goal to get every last World War II veteran an opportunity to participate in this event. But they jump on that bus, they drive to the airport, they receive, great welcomes and supports in the airport, and they hop on a plane and get a few hours of sleep, but then they are in for a full day of activities And that day, traveling all over Washington, D.C., and seeing the monuments and so forth, being recognized. They do a really neat thing also where they have a mail call. And just like when veterans or our service people are overseas and they have mail call and they pass out mail, well, they've had family members of the veterans write letters to the veterans, and they do an actual mail call. And I think that's a very moving experience for the veterans and for the students. And of course, like I said, they go through the activities. They spend the one night in D.C., and then they are usually typically back to us around 8 o'clock of the following evening, and we do a big welcome, make it very patriotic. Our gym has been full the last 3 years. We've tried to do it outside, but lighting and so forth, so we decided to move it to the gym, and they do a big announcement. The veterans walk in, and the guardian angels are with them, and it's a phenomenal event, and if anyone ever wants to participate, and it is scheduled, but like I said, I don't have the date off the top of my head, but Sean Horning and Susie Sprinkle are the contacts. They work with a lot of people in the area, and that's who you'd want to reach out to if you have someone in your family that you feel would be interested in attending this.
And they don't have to necessarily be from Waumega. They could be from anywhere in the area.
Exactly. Yeah, I know we've had veterans from Topeka and yeah, the surrounding area. I'm guessing we've probably got a 100-mile radius around Waumega of veterans that have attended and participated, but most of them have been this in the Pottawatomie County, Raleigh County area.
It's such a neat program. I've worked with these at other schools, and just the looks on their faces, not just the veterans, of course, is priceless, but you know, the kids, they really get to learn something from this. They get to, I think, get a nice little visual of what it's like to serve your country.
They do, and that's the greatest thing for these kids is how much of a learning, impactful experience it is. And we do things throughout the years where we have a red, white, and blue night at a basketball game, and some of the veterans come back, and our former Guardian Angel students will come back, and they, over that two-day time frame, and other activities. They do multiple activities throughout the year for this, but they really build a special relationship with their veteran, and that's life-lasting.
Well, that's really cool to hear about. And then last week we had the election, and I know there were some races here for both Waumega and Rock Creek, some pretty close races on your school boards, especially for you, Kevin.
Yes, we have one open race, had a race that's yet to be called, I guess. From the county clerk's office, they're not certifying the elections until November 18th, but we have one gentleman, Brian Biddle, up 67-65 over another gentleman, Glenn Tonser, in our district. That will be our lone new board position, with Trevor Jensen not running in that spot. We had two uncontested spots, our current board president, Stuart Schwartz, and Anna Nippert. Neither of those had someone running against them. Dee Forgey had a race with Eric Whaley, and Dee is significantly in front on that. So Dee will be on for another term. So looking forward, it's always nice to see some new faces on the board. It's always sad to see some old faces go away. It's a lot like high school graduations. You're glad to see your students move on, but you really hate to see them go. And it's very similar to that. You get used to working with the board. So we will have one new face on. We just don't know who it will be yet.
Well, it really goes to show you that, voting in these elections matters, because, 67-65, that's a difference of two votes. And with the other ballots needing to be counted here at this point, it could be down to just one or two votes that determine the race.
Exactly. So very important to get out and vote whenever you have the opportunity. Have your voice heard.
All right. Well, in Waumega, there was a close race as well.
Yes, we actually had four of our positions were part of the election process. And first off, just, want to thank our board members and the individuals that were running for the Board of Education. It is a big sacrifice, a very honorable commitment, but it definitely is a sacrifice, and just want to appreciate all of those individuals that ran. But kind of where we're at, Michelle Johnson in District 1 was opposed by Deb Johnson, and it appears Deb Johnson is going to win that race when it is official. Like Kevin said, November 18th is the actual date where they'll make all those things official. Tara Miller and Baina Stelk would both be new to the board. They ran in District 2, and Tara Miller, it appears, will be the new board member in that district, in that position. Claudia McAllister was running against Ryan Hargett for the at-large position, and it appears Claudia will take that position, but Ryan's been on the board for the 4 years and done a phenomenal job. And then the close position has Bruce Coleman, who is a current board member, current at-large, but he was running in District 3 due to Nicolette Ziegler deciding to step down at the end of her term, but he was opposed by Monica Schaefer. That is our close race. I think Bruce had an 8-vote lead at the end of the election day, but it needs to be certified. So I would say, that one is maybe still too close to call, but it was a 138-130, and the voting counts, and so everyone needs to make sure they fulfill their civic duty. But Bruce and Monica, that will be official, I guess, on the 18th of November. But again, thank you to all of those individuals and our current board members who are continuing their terms.
And I just have to ask, with a smaller school district, were you pleased with the amount of candidates that did file to run?
Well, it's always interesting and a great thing when you do have people that are interested in civic service, in that civic engagement. And so we've had a candidate forum night that the Chamber of Commerce held a few weeks ago, where each candidate was given some questions to respond, and that was well attended by the community. And this is much better than searching for candidates and asking people to do write-ins. I've been in that situation before as well.
Yes, it's very nice to have someone running in each spot, at least one person, if not multiples, to show interest in the district. Like Tim said, it's kind of a thankless job in a lot of ways. It's not a paid position. They do give up a lot of time to study and get ready for board meetings, and then the actual board meetings and any special things that come along. And then they also, as you said, in a smaller community, it's also an ear to the community. And, it's hard for some people to understand that they act as a board, not as seven individuals. And that's a task unto itself also. And a lot of training goes into how do boards operate. And so it takes a person with an open mind, takes a person who's willing to learn, and just really appreciate our board and those that I've worked with in the past and currently.
All right. Well, congratulations to everybody who ran, and we'll wait the results here when the election gets certified here on the 18th. Let's take a time out. We'll come back more with Tim Winter, Kevin Logan here from Pottawatomie County Schools. You're listening to In Focus on KMAN.